entertainment news for you.
Which is brought to you by
All Pro Foundation Repair.
And it stars Dave.
Dave.
With special guest star, Gordon Keith.
Gordon,
what up?
All right, another muser.
Mm-hmm.
We are now 2 for 3 on musers today.
Boy,
can we hit for the cycle?
Just the job left. Boy, this is exciting.
And Fernando.
A little tougher to get Fernando, but hi, Gordon.
Fernando's in bed already.
It's a good place
to
be.
He's asleep.
Does he work?
He wakes up at like 2 a.m.
He has the weirdest schedule of any human. Do you think he wears a CPAP mask?
Of course he does. Ooh, that's a good question. How many people at the ticket wear CPAP masks? Bob?
Definitely not. No, sir.
I have a mouthpiece.
Well, I would know. I guess I'm telling you. I could say with great certainty I don't.
I have a mouthpiece, but since I have lost weight, I no longer need to wear it.
Really?
My snoring is not as annoying as it once was, evidently.
Okay. So like a mouth guard or what, that keeps your teeth from grinding?
It pulls your bottom jaw forward.
Yeah?
So
unhinges your jaw.
Yeah, so your soft palate, your tongue doesn't vibrate against your soft palate.
Okay.
You know.
What about you, Gordon?
There's a lot of undiagnosed sleep apnea out there.
There's a lot more going on than we think there is.
Than we think there is. Yeah. No, I don't wear a CPAP mask or one of those jaw unhinger things. And I've always suspected, or at least feared, that I have some sort of sleep disturbance or, you know, you wake up tired and all that. But, of course, I'm not getting very much sleep. And it has been reported to me that I do not snore or have sleep apnea. But I've never taken a study.
That's probably because you had your gag reflex severed.
Yes, I did do that back in the old rant days, in fact, when I was a bug chaser.
Yeah.
One of Bob's favorite stories.
All right, let's get into some e-news as
guilty as charged.
Pete Davidson has checked himself into rehab. A source close to Davidson says that he checked himself in, but should be getting out pretty soon. Now, this is not for substance abuse or alcoholism.
Different Davidson.
Rather, he entered the treatment center seeking inpatient therapy to address ongoing issues related to post-traumatic stress disorder and his previous diagnosis of borderline personality disorder.
Why was this announced?
I don't know. I don't know how this gets leaked. I don't know if he was seen going to rehab and they felt like they needed to get out ahead of it. But he went public with his borderline personality disorder diagnosis in 2017. So he had extreme mood swings. They thought it might be bipolar disorder, but it turns out it's borderline, which is more closely aligned with depression. But he said he would have extreme mood swings. And he had a mental breakdown after getting out of rehab and using marijuana. He thought that maybe it was because of his marijuana use, but then he was diagnosed with borderline personality disorder a couple months after that. And then in 2022, I don't know if you remember, he had trauma therapy, PTSD therapy, because he was being bullied by Kanye when he was dating Kim Kardashian. So
I think there's something suspicious about this.
Okay, so maybe it is substance and they're just couching it as it's just further mental health treatment.
Well, why would you call it rehab? I mean, if it's inpatient mental health treatment, you don't call that rehab. You say that he's in an inpatient treatment for depression or bipolar or, I mean, borderline or something like that. He's in inpatient mental health.
Yeah, it is. The story that I have, they use the word rehab in the headline, but then throughout the story they say treatment and treatment center. So it might be just a poor use of the word. Or it could be more to it, like you're saying. I don't know.
I've seen headlines that you have, and they all used rehab. I mean, I'm not saying it's drugs. I'm just saying it's just weird the way it was worded. And it's also strange to me the fact that they put this out there.
Has anyone watched Bupkis, his new show on Peacock, I believe?
I have not.
No.
Yeah, I'm not interested.
I don't think I've seen just a whole lot of his work outside of Saturday Night Live. How about that?
I don't get it.
Yeah, me neither.
I don't understand it. And, okay.
We don't need to spend any more time.
He's definitely famous.
He is famous for being famous.
Yes.
There is some audio making the rounds on the internet in which Pat Sajak has predicted his successor that in 2012, 11 years ago, he predicted that Ryan Seacrest would take over Wheel of Fortune. So this is a mashup of a couple of clips from a 2012 episode of Wheel of Fortune.
Does he mention Ellie De La Cruz?
He does not mention Ellie De La Cruz or Norm's retirement. But
does he describe it as a hand-picked successor?
No, but I guess he makes a couple of mistakes.
Okay.
And so there's two different clips, but they're mashed together, but you'll get the idea.
Well, you've spun the wheel, you have to ask for a consonant. Oh, you're on a free play. You know what? I'm an idiot. Yeah. You see, the way it works, if you land... never mind. Is there an E in the puzzle?
In!
I'm not sure. Let's look. Yeah, there are three ends. Pick up that trip. Pay me $1,500. God, Seacrest is on speed dial.
Seacrest is on speed dial.
Yeah.
See?
All right, that's not exactly predicting it. He's mentioning the guy's name who gets every broadcasting job.
Yeah, well, yeah, he knows that Seacrest circles like a vulture over dying legends and waits to pick their carcass.
He definitely seems like a obvious candidate and has seemed that way for like a decade, so that probably doesn't happen by accident, right? It probably means he runs in the right circles, he's in the right places, and he's ready to pounce.
Yeah.
So yesterday on the social meds...
What was that?
Sajak said, I look forward to my final season starting this fall, then handing over the car keys to Ryan Seacrest in September of 2024. So we have plenty more Pat to enjoy over the next year.
Good.
Meanwhile, Vanna White, we mentioned that she is looking for a pay increase because she hasn't had one in 18 years.
Libs.
So it's been confirmed. She makes $3 million a year, and Sajak reportedly makes $15 million a year. And so according to her attorney, she wants half of what Sajak makes. So she wants like 7.5. That after 41 years as a model employee and more the face of the show than Pat even, asking for 50% of what he makes seems like a no-brainer. And that she believes that this is not just an issue about her, this is an issue for all women. That all women deserve to make half.
Yeah, that's the lesson I took out of it, too. well, I mean, come on. She doesn't have a speaking role.
Right. Like, unless she's spoken to, and even then, she just kind of gestures like a mime. Is she even mic'd up? Do they even bother?
I don't think we spend enough time talking about Vanna White, Gordon.
I think we've already spent too much.
Okay, well then let's move on again. We have other stuff to get to.
No, but let me make my case. Of all of the girls on your Hubba Hubba list in like 1987,
list?
She was very fetching when we were all in high school, and I am simply asking, have any of other of those girls like Daisy Duke and, you know, just whoever was on that list back then?
Oh, she's Emma kept Sam, it together.
How can she still be relevant in 2023 as a basically a model?
Well, I think that as soon as she gets done taping the show, she gets on a hamster wheel and she just runs until the next show.
I think it's the Tom Brady of her office. just a career
She's
of longevity
on
that is just I can't explain it.
Opinion.
It just it's a modern marvel that isn't talked about enough.
So she definitely deserves. She should have been getting raises.
Yes.
At least cost of living this whole time.
If anybody could have monetized,
who can live on $3 million?
Oh, I'm just over 3 decades in Hollywood on a hit show.
Yeah.
If the whole cast the whole cast from Friends were able to just hit the jackpot, I would think Vanna White would have done that at some point. And maybe, you know, collectively she has, but if she's that far behind Sajak, that's interesting to me. She sounds like a very easy person to negotiate with.
It's a weird position that we're in, trying to say, hey, a person being paid $3 million a year is being ripped off, and this is proof of an unfair system.
It's a going rate, right?
I mean,
like, what do you think Wheel of Fortune generates every year?
A lot of money, and that's why she should have gotten a raise all this time. But yeah, she has a very basic role, but she performs that role very well. And there is a lot to be said for the continuity that show has had.
Yeah, there's some fat cat at Merv Griffin Productions that is pocketing what she should be making.
Yes.
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
I'm all for the talent getting paid.
Have you ever wanted to
see... Well said, Gordon.
Have you ever wanted to see a mashup of the movies Speed and Taken?
Smash!
Only because, yes, it's too perfect. So I was hoping for that. Please tell me it's happened, and it's starring Liam Neeson.
Yes. The trailer just dropped today for a new movie called Retribution. It'll be in theaters August 25th. It's a remake of a Spanish-language film that came out in 2015 called El Descondito.
Oh, man.
Not Despacito, but Descondito. And so it's Liam Neeson, and he is driving with his 2 kids in his car when something wild happens in the fridge here in the green room. No, something wild happens, and it's just comical. Just listen.
Did I do something to you?
You sound so guilty.
What do you want?
Drive to this location.
Honey, something's happened. There's a man who has put a bomb in the car. Under our seats, there are pressure triggers. We can't get out. The car will explode.
So, he has to go and do the mysterious voices bidding because they have bombs under their seats, and if they get up, they'll explode.
There's kids in the back seat on their devices.
It's like it's like when you when somebody is sitting in the passenger seat and then it says passenger airbag active because it can sense the person's bottom.
All right, a few observations on this. One is it sounded like AI generated Liam Neeson. I mean, it sounded like a fake Liam Neeson.
No, it's him.
Listen to the way the words are all kind of separated a little bit, and I don't know. It seemed generated to me. Second point is
under
that
our seats there are pressure triggers. We can't get out.
I think they just chopped it together for
like
the trailer.
C-3PO is talking.
Yeah.
All right. My second point is the kids in the back seat will never look up from the devices, so they won't even know anything's going on for over 2 hours.
Right.
Yeah.
They're completely uninvolved in this.
They're like, well, wait, we're just now getting here? What happened?
Hey, Dad, can we stop at Chick-fil-A?
Okay, we have one more thing to get to before we get into rant revival time. There has been an update of this song.
Harry, John, and Doris Day, Red China, Johnny Ray, South Pacific, Walter Winchell, Joe DiMaggio, John McCarthy, Richard Nixon, Studebaker, television, North Korea, South Korea, Marilyn Monroe.
So that is, of course, We Didn't Start the Fire.
The Kemp Spin song.
By Billy Joel.
Like it. You don't like it?
No, so I can't stand just a collection of nouns.
So it came out in 1989.
Walter Winchell?
It came out in 1989. And so the lyrics, Billy Joel was born in 1949, and so he was 40 years old at this point. And it's that's weird to me because Billy Joel always seems like he's like 50 in my mind.
At least.
But the original song was just all pop culture references from the year he was born until 1989. And so Fall Out Boy has now done an updated cover.
Okay.
And they have updated it to span the 34 years since the original came out. So let's hear a little bit of that.
Captain Planet, Arab Spring, LA riots, Rodney King, deep fakes, earthquakes, Iceland volcano, Oklahoma City bomb, Kurt Cobain, Pokemon, Tiger Woods, MySpace, Monsanto, GMO. Harry Potter, Twilight, Michael Jackson dies, Mario, accident, Fukushima, Japan, Kwame Peninsula, Cambridge, Analytica, Kim Jong Un.
Okay, that's a joke.
That's a joke. Robert Downey Jr., Iron Man.
Michael Jackson died.
Breaking news.
I mean, couldn't
like
they
listening
at least,
to E! News.
Before they went into the studio and recorded this, at least gone up and hit sort on the column list to do it in chronological order. I mean, they're just all over the map.
Yeah, the Cambridge Analytica. Gee whiz. Oh, gosh. Okay, coming up next, we have a very exciting travel-themed rant revival.
Yes. This is Sports Radio 96.7 and 1310, The Ticket, broadcasting live from the TXU Energy Mothership, KTCK-AM Dallas-Fort Worth, KTCK-FM Flower Mound, a Cumulus Media Station.
Currency is the yuan. Does that sound right?
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, I think that's right. Well, on the bright side, she can meet Kevin James.
That's true. She needs to put in her Make-A-Wish today to get at the top of the list.
Boy.
We have one of our own, the dear, great Monty.
Yeah, maybe he can help her write her essay.
Who is one-legged and has met Kevin James, I think, multiple times.
Well, if nothing
else... Did he meet Kevin James when Kevin James came up to the Ticket Studios and, like, reminisce?
I don't believe so. I don't think so. We've got to go, but if nothing else... We learned a new term for menstruation today, catching the morning flight from Bangkok. Thank you, Gordon.
Thank you, guys. And
we'll
go
see
Jub
you out
Jam.
Here at Jub Jam.
Bye, Gordon.
Indeed. Bye, Bob.
Revival. Hey.
That's right. The Rant Revival, of course, the Rant was the Saturday show in the late 90s, early aughts that Gordon brought to the Ticket Airwaves, experimental Saturday radio that was the proving ground for... Corby and myself.
He invented two characters, Corby and Dave.
Yes, he invented us. And we bring it back to life. We reanimate it every Thursday here at this time. And Gordon, I'd like to do a travel-themed episode today.
Yes.
I have not had an opportunity to talk to you about this, but I wanted to touch base with you about the Titan tragedy, as human remains have been recovered along with the wreckage and has been delivered to St. John's, Newfoundland. I know you talked about the fact that they unloaded big chunks of the submersible at a Canadian Coast Guard pier up there in Newfoundland, but were you aware of the presence of human remains?
I hadn't heard whether or not there was... human remains on there. I mean, there couldn't have been much, right?
Yeah, I don't know. They say that the presumed human remains will be brought to the United States where they will conduct a formal analysis. But yeah, I don't know exactly what they'll be able to tell.
Is it a bad sign, though, when they use the word presumed in front of human remains?
Right. It might be a carp.
We're not totally sure what we have here, but we're going to take a look.
Yeah, so, and then the Marine Board of Investigation will analyze and test the evidence, including the debris at a port in the United States, and then the board will share that evidence at a public hearing. They have not announced a date for that, because who knows how long the investigation will take.
Now, that far down in the ocean, though, is that where all those, like, weird creatures live that look alien-like.
The ones that have, like, the glow-in-the-dark dangly lure in front of their face.
Yes.
Like, all the deep-sea creatures all are, like translucent or have some kind of glow-in-the-dark thing.
I'm a girl. Yeah, they're bioluminescent and translucent. They're kind of shaped like the devil's genitalia.
I would like us to put a little more effort into exploring the deepest reaches of the ocean in this time.
That's what James Cameron's busy doing.
I feel like he's
doing it the right way.
We've wandered off to do new things, and I don't think exploring our own ocean has been quite the priority it once was. What do you think of that?
Yeah, like I think we got bigger priorities.
Well, I mean, maybe we can unlock some real secrets of life down there.
No, I'm still trying to stop the steal. I ain't got time for ocean stuff.
Well, so, I mean, do you think that when they went down there looking for pieces of the submersible...
We got to find our underwater ally, Nessie. She's down there somewhere.
Did they just find, like, a dismembered leg that a bunch of shrimp were gnawing on, or...
Like at a buffet, like they all had bibs on.
Right, yeah, they all have bibs with a human on it.
Just going family style on a leg.
I don't know, do shrimp live that far down? Maybe.
Maybe.
Who can say?
We don't know.
I honestly don't know what the rules are for what constitutes a, well, leave it down there, it's now a shipwreck, versus we need to go retrieve it.
I talked about this on the morning show. I don't understand why the Titanic, sitting right beside it, we all act like, oh, we can't disturb the Titanic.
Well,
because
they didn't have the technology to raise the Titanic. But this sub, they...
Not
they
about raising it. I'm saying that we would not only use the excuse of we don't have the technology to bring any of it up. We would say, no, it is a final resting place, and it is a sacred spot now.
Yes.
Meanwhile, the submersible sitting right beside it, it should be a watery grave just like the Titanic.
Yeah, but the Titanic, it hit an iceberg. We know what happened. Yeah, but the submersible, they need to figure out what caused the implosion.
Wouldn't you like to see the Titanic?
There are safety concerns.
In a nice museum like in New York City or something, you can go see the Titanic. Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah, you
I'd
can
go
walk,
see it.
Walk through the ballroom.
And what are the rules on, because this is actually a thing.
Balls.
There's great debates going on in ocean courtrooms all
great
the time.
Debate.
Ocean courtrooms.
About whether or not
ocean
like,
water.
Like you're allowed to seek buried treasure in shipwrecks.
It's finders keepers, right?
I see. This is it gets very messy. This is like what the British Museum is. Gordon mentioned this a couple months ago when we talked about the British Museum and their artifacts from like Egypt. And if you collect those in a museum and if you did this with like a shipwreck from the Spanish boats down in the Caribbean in the 1500s that might have had, you know, 100 million in gold. Should you disturb the ocean floor and go find it and dig it up and put it in a museum or is it left
for 150 million? Yeah. But I wouldn't put it in a museum. I'd keep the 150 million.
Well,
of course it'd be kind of hard passing off doubloons at Dave and Buster's.
Right. And that's what
won't fit in this coin slot. That's what the fights are for though. That's why people are arguing these matters.
Well, in addition to ocean exploration, as you mentioned, we have turned our attention to the skies. And today was historic because it was Virgin Galactic's first commercial spaceflight. Were you aware of this, Gordon?
No, I thought that thing went belly up. I thought that folded.
No. So we know that Elon and Bezos have their space programs, but Richard Branson, his Virgin Galactic, had their maiden voyage today, and so it was called Galactic 1, and it took off from New Mexico. And so the way they do it is it's attached to a carrier plane, and then it detaches, and then it reaches the upper atmosphere from there. So it gets like kind of a piggyback ride to the upper atmosphere, and then it goes to space.
That's how the space shuttle did it, right?
No, I think the space shuttle, they just put it on the back of the plane to bring it back to Cape Canaveral from wherever it landed.
Did everybody show up with their tickets, or did people get concerned and cancel after the Titan accident that maybe
I don't know. Well, there were members of the Italian Air Force and a researcher that were doing experiments collecting data during the flight, but then there are also some
paying
passengers that they were just partying, doing like their little flips in zero G. I don't know what they charge for Virgin Galactic. I heard you guys talking about this on the Musers.
Virgin Galactic sounds so made up.
I know, right? Well, are you more apt to do a submarine journey or a space journey?
I think space. I'm much more interested in going to the SG atmosphere of space.
I'm going to go ocean.
Really?
Honestly, I know this sounds insane in the aftermath, but I can definitely see a time where you're talking to people who have done it. Maybe you're talking to the guy who runs the company, and he's showing you on his phone video of the Titanic, and I would have been like, this sounds pretty cool. Now, obviously, I don't have the budget, but let's say it was $500.
But do you feel like that the ocean is less risky than space?
For some reason, I do, yes.
You're insane.
I mean, I don't.
No, it is insane.
I mean, I think in my mind they're equally risky, so I'd be scared to do both. But I don't know. I don't know what the actual statistics are.
Well, in both cases, you would have to be like sold with a room of really confident alphas.
Yeah, you definitely have
done
to be horny.
It before.
Yeah. Either for
perhaps horny.
Either for shrimp going family style, or for Russian cosmonauts.
It would just be cooler to be in zero SG or whatever they call it, where you can do the flips, and I want to do all that stuff. I don't want to be compressed in a submersible.
Zero G. It's definitely not zero SG. It's like off the charts SG from what I've been told.
Yeah. That's why I want to go to space,
because
I was promised to do supremely gay stuff up there.
Yeah, you want to be the first to have gay intercourse in space.
Right. I want
first
really super, super gay sex.
Okay, guys, we get it.
Docking while you're docking.
He's yeah.
Gay!
It's just an endless somersault. You just get going and you can't stop.
Just too far. Just everybody's too far.
All right, would you rather hear...
Gay sex up there is out of this world. All right, what? Would I rather hear what?
We have time for one more. Would you rather hear about the man who died in Jamaica from trying to drink the entire menu at a resort? Or the woman who had her leg eaten by a moving sidewalk?
I'm going to let Gordon choose.
Jamaican tried to drink what now? What did he do?
The entire drink menu.
I want to hear the leg eaten by a moving sidewalk.
Okay. All right, so this happened in Bangkok, one of your favorite places. And so this woman, a 57-year-old Thai woman, she was trying to make it to her morning flight that was departing from Bangkok.
Is that the euphemism for the monthly time?
The morning flight?
The morning flight from Bangkok?
Yes. That's where the woman gets her monthly curse.
Next time your wife is real ornery, ask her if she's catching the morning flight to Bangkok.
Do you have a morning flight today?
Oh, Lord.
You'll just confuse her. She won't punch you this time.
So she was on the moving sidewalk in the airport's Terminal 2, and I guess she got to the end of the moving sidewalk, and you know how the just like an escalator, the moving sidewalk will have a grate at the end.
Yes.
And the actual sidewalk goes under the grate, and then it loops back around. That's a conveyor belt.
So one thing at the airport that's most like coming off the ice after a shift in the charity challenge, Dave.
Bringing it back
don't
to
you,
sports.
Don't you agree?
It's a good point.
Yes.
Bringing it back to sports!
And so she gets to the end of the moving sidewalk, and the grate gives way, and it rips off.
The grate gives way?
It gives way, and the grate rips off the front two wheels of her luggage, and it traps one of her legs.
Oh!
And medical team there at the airport had to amputate her leg above the knee there at the scene.
Well, can't they put another tie leg on her?
Tie leg. Well, like from the gift shop, or what are you saying?
Well, I'm saying, like, you have
like,
to...
Like, tie one you on? Can have,
yes, you can... You can there's lots of donors there that will give her the leg, right?
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know.
Am I crazy on this?
I think so. Like,
I thought that... I thought that you could
offer
get...
their own legs up?
Well, wouldn't you give a leg to a loved one if they needed
yeah,
it?
Yeah, they'll be running from the hills to donate their legs.
To donate their legs.
So
the escalator and the moving sidewalk are underrated menaces in this world.
Yeah,
everybody's
everyone
takes
world. Them for granted.
And everybody.
Right.
Elevators, too. Everyone just, they're part of our everyday life, and we don't give them a second thought, but they are death traps.
I'm more interested
I've seen
in this.
Horrible, horrible movies of... people getting trapped by escalators. Somebody will send me this. Hey, look at this funny thing that happened in a mall in China. And it'll be some woman getting eaten like the cookie monster, getting a hold of her legs, just downing her, just chewing her up at the end of an escalator as she's trying to throw her toddler to a bystander.
It takes forever for somebody to hit the red button at the bottom.
Oh, it's just horrible.
So what's the... bedside manner rules on how long you should wait before you suggest we need to amputate right now. Like, you just arrive on the scene and just...
I guess they just showed up with a Ginsu.
With a hacksaw.
Yeah, I think over there they don't bother with that bedside manner stuff.
Yeah,
that's
they
some
just
of that,
do. They just do.
That's some of your snowflake stuff, Bob.
Yeah. So she was taken
ever
to
since
the hospital.
You started... Ever since you've started advocating for gentle bedside manner, I just can't listen as much anymore.
No, just to the hacksaw we go. You know, just get over it, dude.
Yeah, so she was taken to the hospital, and they told her that they could not reattach her leg, mainly because it was mangled and eaten by
Swiss
a
Army
conveyor
knife.
Belt.
Yes.
Then she requested to be transferred to another hospital to ask for a second opinion.
Oh,
they're like, no, it's still mangled. So, but the airport has said they're fully responsible for her medical costs, and they'll be open to negotiations on other compensation.
Well, like some 10,000 free miles or something,
right?
Yeah, that sounds great.
Some spicy Thai legs.
Give her a voucher, free travel. You know,
2 hours in the Admiral's Club.
I think that she deserves millions.
Yes, but she won't because she's. In Thailand.
Oh, man.
Well, a million over there is like a buck here, right?
Right, yeah.
I don't know the conversion rate.
No disrespect.
What is their unit of currency?
In Thailand? Hmm.
$8. Well, it's
dar. It's dar.
Might be dar.
So,
right,
so China is the yen, right?
Yes.
China.
No, that's the Japanese yen.
Oh, yeah, Japanese yen.
And it's the... China Kronauer. What is it?
They have the Thai baht in Thailand.
The baht.
Thai.
So what's the exchange rate of bahts for dollars?
B-de-be-de-be-de-be-de-be.
Yeah.
One baht is $0.028.
I have Chinese.
Two cents? 3 cents? Yeah, so
about
she gets
cents,
a million bahts, she can buy a Happy Meal.
I believe the Chinese currency is the yuan. Does that sound right?
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, I think that's right. Well, on the bright side, she can meet Kevin James.
That's true. She needs to put in her Make-A-Wish today to get at the top of the list.
Boy.
We have one of our own, the dear great Monty.
Yeah, maybe he can help her write her essay.
Who is one-legged and has met Kevin James, I think, multiple times.
Well, if nothing else...
Did he meet Kevin James when Kevin James came up to the Ticket Studios and, like, reminisce?
I don't believe so. I don't think so. We've got to go, but if nothing else, we learned a new term for menstruation today, catching the morning flight from Bangkok. Thank you, Gordon.
Thank you, guys.
We'll
go
see
Jub
you out
Jam.
Here at Jub Jam.
Bye, Gordon.
Indeed. Bye, Bob.